you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
Listen, from the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Christ to save your life.
But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen. Hope Amen. Radio 98.7. Welcome.
Joy FM.
Glory. We have the usual suspects. You know, I realized on our last segment I didn't do any introductions at all.
We just went right in.
So let's do that. Frank.
Breathe easy, would you?
Take a deep breath.
And Bobby Sunday, preacher extraordinaire.
Oh,
in his name, man.
Also known as the Third Honey.
Holy.
And then, of course, y'all know our producer, the legend,
the man,
the guy that brought myths to the forefront and made people question their own existence, Macedonia.
Yeah, Mac.
We're continuing our discussion on who is God, and we're going to talk a little bit about how we know God and when we know God. Last time we were together, we talked about can we know God, and the highlights from that was from Jeremiah, where we talked about let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, the strong man in his strength, the rich man in his riches, but let him boast who boasts in this, that he understands me, he understands God, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Delight in what the Lord delights in if you want to know who God is. And so can we know him? The answer is yes.
Yes, yes.
We can know him, not exhaustively.
Right.
We can never know any of God's attributes or characters exhaustively. But because of his word, we can know him
absolutely truly.
And so we also talked about the three components that people attack Christianity and Christians.
Oh, yeah.
They attack, you know, does God exist? They attack,
who is God?
Is Jesus Christ who he says he is?
Is he the
and
Son of God?
The big one is the Bible, the word of God.
Is it the word
know?
Of God?
So we're going to be diving into those. And then we're excited because April 8th, 15th, and 22nd, we're going to be doing our whole Council of God series we go through God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit and the Bible and show and answer a lot of people's questions about those subjects.
Allowing the Lord to testify
of himself.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then And so anybody's invited. It's from 8 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
Please come out.
Those Saturdays. And again, there's no obligation. It's free.
Amen.
And you can come and just sit in and answer.
Hang out.
Any questions you have about God.
As we chop it up.
We'll answer for you. Yeah. And this isn't to say that we know everything, to be sure. We just know the person that does.
So omniscient.
We're excited about being able to just have that conversation about our God. And so as we go into this, one of the reasons that we're doing this is because society is really interested in God lately.
That's right.
You know,
right.
You had a number of series that have come out where Morgan Freeman a couple other one on Stars that are coming out
America's
and really
gods.
Asking themselves about who is God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because the world view of God is pretty much from their own personal filter. It's very difficult for people to understand that there's a being outside of them and that's incomprehensible to them. And that's why you get a lot of different religions and they're all kind of man-based, quote-unquote, meaning that man is the filter.
Right.
And it's like, if I can't encapsulate God in my mind, then there is no God type of mentality. I would argue if you could encapsulate God in your mind, he couldn't be God.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You can figure him out.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And then one challenge I said, well, to a person that said, well, will they eventually become gods or whatever? I said, well, can you do something for me?
Yeah.
Can you take my bowl of soup and split it one right down the middle? Or can you create life, outside of impregnating a woman?
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. That was funny. I thought so. Anyway.
Praise the Lord.
And here's before we get there, here's a simple statement that people say, well, and I've heard people say, what's up, God, this, that, and the other. But and they quote the Bible, but when Jesus says, I say ye are gods, he's talking about lowercase g. You idolize yourself.
Yep.
Not saying you're a capital G supremacy God.
Right. And that's one of the things we do when we go through the Bible during the whole counsel of God, too, is to show the difference. When the scripture says God lower G and God uppercase G, go ahead, Frank.
No, I just wanted to just talk about as we talk about professing God or testifying of God's presence. One of the things I always use is God said that He has called the sun to govern over the day and the moon to govern over the night, and I said, well. That's a common doctrine that's out right now, or a heresy that man believes that he's God.
Right.
And I say, well, if you God, stop the sun from rising.
Yep.
Because God put the sun there to govern over the day,
because,
and the moon
over
the night.
Because in the whole council of God, we talk about Egyptology.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talk about the different gods of Egypt and how people believe that Pharaoh, the man God, quote unquote, on earth, caused all this stuff to happen. That's why the last plague was an attack on Pharaoh himself.
Right.
Because it was believed in Egypt that the Pharaoh controlled the water. He controlled the seas because he had a relationship with all these gods and he was, quote unquote, the God on earth.
Right.
Where they did, quote unquote, his bidding, if you will.
Which is here's the symbolism again, which representing Pharaoh as Satan.
Yeah.
Right. And then of course the triumphant of God over the seed of the serpent through the death of Pharaoh's son.
Okay, yeah, that's a symbolic stretch, but we'll go there. And just to give people an example, like when we go through scripture, we talk about that incident with Moses being drawn from the water.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is like, if you notice that the Pharaoh's daughter was down there to bathe in the Nile. Now, the common misconception is she was down there to bathe and taking a bath. When in actuality, she was trying to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Because the Nile god was seen as a god of fertility.
Fertility, yeah.
And that's why she made a big deal about Moses being drawn from the water, because Moses not only navigated through the Nile god, but he also survived the crocodile. He also survived the hippo and the frogs, which were seen as gods. And we talk about that. And what's interesting about that is it was her attitude, because Moses isn't a Hebrew name. Mm-hmm. It's an Egyptian name. Her excitement was that the Nile god
sent me a baby. Wow. That is really superstitious. You know,
right. And so, and again, this isn't like something we finna run around doctrinal or whatever. This is just insight.
We also can't take credit away from what God tells us through Paul in Romans, when he says that everything of old is written for our learning.
Our learning, yes.
And so we must take these things into account when we study it, that we're looking for the principles that are represented in these accounts.
Because look at how God did it. Because even when we, and again, we're going to study a little Egyptology, you know, during it, but in even what some scientists try to say was the natural occurrences of the plague, the difference is that it's interesting that they only happened when Moses said they were going to, and they stopped when Moses said to stop, as God led. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, about that. But anyway, I digress. Let's get to the subject, fellas. How we know God. And that's a big question, because we talked about in our last segment is that in order for us to know him, God has to take the initiative. God has to take the initiative because given to ourselves— there's no way we're interested in God.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no way we're interested in God.
There's no not one that seeks after me.
Right. The human depravity in us, if God is over here, we want to go here. But as image bearers, there's something in us that causes us to look in God's direction that God put in us when he created us as image bearers. I personally believe that's faith. That's the faith act as part of that image bearer, because Jesus constantly says, put your faith in me. He's given us a choice to place our faith in whatever we want. And so, excuse me, in order to know God, God had to take the initiative to let us know he was there, that he was out there. And that he wanted to have a relationship with us. So that harkens to the only way for us to know God is through the Spirit of God.
Right.
The Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, they got this movie, The Shack, out, you know, and we're not going to go into a discussion of that and things like that. But the Holy Spirit is the only way to know God. Trying to find God outside of the Holy Spirit is basically trying to find the sun at noon on a cloudless day by burying your head in the sand.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the theologians have a term that's called trichotomy, where it talks about man being in three parts. Mind, spirit, soul, and body. And when I think about it from that terms, I know that God's word is spirit, right? And God knows how he's designed man. He's the manufacturer of man. And so in replenishing man giving man a new birth, he starts with the spirit through his word. His word comes into contact with the spirit of man, you know, because it's the spirit of man that influences man to do the things that he do, right? And so when God's spirit comes into the contact of the spirit of man, the man is renewed, and thus the soul, which is the mind of man, is influenced. And now as he's being transformed from the inside out, now he begins to work things out physically. And right. So it's an act of God. It's to be born from above, or a term that we use, born again.
Yeah, with the distinction, of course, that when we talk about the spirit of man versus the spirit of God, we're talking about
right.
the deity, Holy Spirit.
Right.
He
right.
is an essential of being, the Father, Son, right. Holy Spirit.
But then also cross-referencing, because we do this a lot mm-hmm. in our discipleship scripture, interpreting scripture. I'd be excited, so y'all excuse me, but the scripture says that Genesis 2:70 says that he formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils
the breath of life,
and man became a living soul. So that breath that he breathed in the nostrils of man is the spirit that's eternal, and it's the very thing that God uses that gives us life. And that's the spirit that has been influenced by the enemy in the fall of man.
Which right? is separate from the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Because exactly. what happens is that when a person comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, accepts him as their Savior,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit takes up residence and begins to sanctify your spirit
absolutely.
To come in communion with
that's
God.
That's
and so, and again, that's tricky subject to get into on the radio, but and April 8th, 15th, and 22nd, we'll dive into it a little bit. But it's just important to know that the only way you can know God is as the Holy Spirit reveals him. Right. Period.
Amen.
And
God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit Amen. And in truth.
And so if we want to know God, then we need the Spirit to reveal him to us, period.
And here it is, right here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says that, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is represented in scripture Amen. That only God does the work that Correct. Needs to be done.
And so, go ahead.
I was going to say, and even Jesus says, and that's the one, that's one of those big questions, hard topics when he talks about, even if Jesus says, even if you speak against me, you can be forgiven, but right. if you deny the Holy Spirit, mm. that's in essence what he's saying, denying the right. power or the ability of the Holy Spirit to bring you to the mind of God,
that's great.
Impartable. Yeah. You can't deny God right. then say, hey, I want to get in heaven.
Right. And that's great that you brought that up, because in our discipleship, one of the questions that people ask is, what's the unforgivable sin?
Yeah, right, what's the sin?
And why is it unforgivable?
Right.
Because Jesus goes on to say, you can blaspheme the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you'll still be forgiven, you right. know. And so when people ask, like, what is the unforgivable sin? We have to show them from Scripture what it means to blaspheme. And like you said, Rob, that's a denial of the gospel, mm-hmm. basically, in mm-hmm. a nutshell. And again, we unpack that during our Who is God? Coming April 8th, 15th, and the 22nd at the Captive Project. That's my commercial. Anyway, So it makes sense that if the Spirit is the only one that can reveal God, then if we want to know him, Ooh, we got to be desperate for the Spirit.
Yes,
exactly.
We have to be desperate for the Spirit. And I'm not talking about desperate for the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
I'm not talking about being desperate for healing or speaking in tongue or some miraculous. We have to be desperate for
a relationship,
the fruits of the Spirit,
the know the Spirit
that produces
right.
a relationship
and that's what I was
with
say.
God.
Yeah. The desperation should be in our growth. It's not enough to acknowledge God, just acknowledge God. You know, we see it all the time with the celebrities, or I want to thank Jesus, I want to thank God. It's not enough to acknowledge God, but God wants us to grow up in Christ. So it's God's will that we grow onto maturity. So our desperation should be growing in Christ, and that's getting, you know, are allowing God, because we don't get more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gets more of us.
Right, and I love that there is a revival where they wanted, I think it was D.L. Moody or Spurgeon. I think it was D.L. Moody.
Okay.
And they said, we need to get D.L. Moody here. And a young man stood up and said, well, why do we deal Moody? He doesn't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
He said, no, young man, he doesn't. But the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him.
Wow. love it.
And so I thought that was a great example. And so if we're going to be, if we want to know God, we have to be desperate for the Spirit of God. And it goes to show that if we're not desperate for the Spirit of God, then guess what? We're going to become content to know very little about God.
Mm.
And that's why you have a lot of issues we have now in the body of Christ, because people are content with knowing little. Because if you think about it, the more we know about God, that means the more we're accountable to Him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So,
amen, amen, amen. Absolutely.
Here are some of the effects of knowing God. When you know God, religion doesn't become, it's not routine anymore.
Right, right.
Like you said, when you know little about God, you're content with it and everything seems monotonous and the same. But when you begin to know God, your religion or your worship,
I love it.
It becomes radical.
Absolutely.
You know Him more. You know, you desire Him more and want to know Him more. So a routine religion is no longer tolerable.
Mm.
You know, casual worship, just casual worship, it's not possible no more.
Amen.
You know, and I think I was just teaching a class. You know, we got a class Wednesday nights, Captive Project, Behold Your God.
Behold Your God, commercial.
Shameless plug. At the same time, we were talking about the holiness of God, and we were talking about how, God is holy. And He gives us this commandment in Leviticus that we are to consecrate ourselves and be holy, for the Lord our God is holy. And then He says how we are to be holy at the end of that verse, where He says the Lord your God will do this, or will sanctify you, right? And so one of the things that all of this makes me think about is that, you know, it's not that we can do so many right things and allow ourselves or make ourselves holy, but it's directly a derivative of our relationship with God. And because He's holy, He sets us apart, and now we're holy. And now when we are in the close proximity of our God, now we are doing the thing that pleases Him. And it's not that it's the works that's allowing us to have, you know, this holiness, but it's the fact that we have this relationship with the Holy One.
Amen. And so when we talk about how we can know God, being desperate for the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit of God to reveal God to us, then when we know God,
yeah,
as Rob just talked about, you know, that routine stuff just doesn't make sense to us. So if you know the Lord God truly, then you will love Him
that's
deeply.
Right.
Man, and that's really what it is. That's what should drive us, not we could do some miraculous gift or
right.
we could preach an incredible sermon.
Come on.
It's to know God. The reason to where we should want to know God
mm-hmm.
is so that we can really bask in the deepness of His love. In our last segment, if you remember, we talked about how there are three other ways that God could have created the earth. He could have just not created it at all and just be content in and of Himself.
Right.
He could have chosen to create it where we only chose good, or He could have created it where there was no good or evil at all. But in all those options, we would have never experienced the love of God. And that's so profound to me. Absolutely. Because to experience the love of God in this state that we are in now, it's profound, you know, to me, because we have to also experience death. There's evil in the world, and no one would, and we fight for freedom all the time. We fight for freedom all the time. So nobody would give up their free choice,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the image of God that we're created in as well. But to know Him
It's the love.
Love him deeply.
Mm, yes.
Mm-hmm. Helps you deal with so much that this world brings to you.
Oh, absolutely.
If you think about, go ahead. Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. That's, you know, one of the quotes is very famous. Job said, "Man, that's born of a woman. Days are few and full of trouble." But so we're all going to go through storms in life. Like you say, death, you know, men will let you down time after time after time. But when you're going through the storms and knowing that you have a relationship with God, you know, God helps us. God carries that burden, and that relationship is what helps get you through.
And one of the things, when you study God, you know, and you just grow with God and your knowledge of God, what happens is you begin to understand that God is all-knowing. And when you think back on life, you have no regrets on life. Why? Because you know that God being perfect, his ways is perfect. Everything that's happening in your life up to this point, no matter what it is, it has happened
to draw you
the
close.
Perfect pattern, the perfect way it had to be.
Amen.
And so we can rest in that, and God gives us joy in all situations and circumstances in that.
To know the Lord God and not to surrender to him is total blasphemy.
Yeah.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Joy FM.
Hope Radio 98.7. Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or drop us a line at 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.